Good morning. Glad that you're here today. Hold up your hand if we can bring you an outline of our lesson. We're continuing our study of the kingdom of God. Let me dismiss Power Kids as we pass out our outlines. One of the things that I hope that we do today is persuade you that the kingdom of God is so much bigger than we sometimes realize, encompassing all languages and tribes and tongues. And one of the difficulties in spreading the kingdom is understanding and communicating to other cultures, even sometimes if they speak your language. You can go to Great Britain and speak English and have a lot of miscommunication because we use the same words in different ways. There's a field of study now called Ebonics, where people realize that in the inner cities of America, there is a language spoken that, although it's called English, uses a lot of different phrases than we use in the suburbs or in rural America. Because I am a son of the Deep South, I know a particular dialect that I call Hickonics. I thought I would just give you some examples today of Hickonics. For example, have you ever heard of someone from the South used the word foreign? This is an adjective, not domestic is what it means. Usage would be, he ain't American, he's from a foreign country. Or the word thank is a verb, means to cognitively process. Usage would be something like, I think I'll go to a foreign country. Barred is a verb, past tense of infinitive to borrow. You'd use it like this, my brother barred my pickup truck. Georgia is a state north of Florida, capital is Lanner. You'd use it like this, my brother from Georgia barred my pickup truck. Months means calendar divisions. Usage, my brother from Georgia barred my pickup truck and I ain't heard from him in months. Ranch is hick for a tool used for tightening bolts. Usage, I think I left my ranch in the back of my pickup truck my brother from Georgia barred a few months ago. All is a noun. It's a petroleum-based lubricant. You'd use it like this. I sure hope my brother from Georgia puts all in my pickup truck. Far is a noun, a conflagration. Usage, if my brother from Georgia don't change the oil in my pickup truck, that thing's going to catch far. And so you can use a word and be convinced that someone else understands that word when in fact they heard something else. This was one of the difficulties that Jesus had. Because Jesus preached on the subject of the kingdom of God more than any other subject. The problem is that when he used the phrase, he meant one thing, and his audience often heard something else. You see, Jesus' listeners had heard of the kingdom of God before. For centuries, they have interpreted the prophecies of the coming of Messiah in kingdom terms. But they did so in a militaristic and in a territorial sense. In other words, they believed that all those prophecies about the coming of the kingdom of God meant that Israel was destined for world domination. They remember when David was on the throne, and Israel was the most powerful nation in the world. They weren't now. They were a little subjugated people that one empire after another had conquered for centuries. But they believed that someday the Son of David was coming. The prophets had said this clearly. And he was going to expand the borders, and Israel was going to be the most powerful nation on earth again. So when Jesus came and he began to say the kingdom of God is at hand, they got excited. And they didn't run to their houses to get Bibles. They ran to get swords. They did not sign up to become missionaries. They were going to be revolutionaries. And when Jesus would preach, God's reign is about to be realized, he's going to establish his dominion over everything. They said, amen. Preach on. But they didn't mean what Jesus meant. And their eagerness soon turned to frustration at his unwillingness to set up the kingdom like they thought it was supposed to be set up. How come he hasn't recruited an army yet? How come he hasn't overthrown any dictators yet? You remember, even John the Baptist, his cousin who announced his coming, was thrown into jail by Herod, the kind of king they thought the Messiah was going to kick out of power. And John sent messengers from prison to Jesus to say, "Are you the one we're looking for? Are we supposed to be looking for somebody else? How come the kingdom isn't coming like we all think it's supposed to come?" They had the right word. They had the wrong definition. One time Jesus told a politician, "My kingdom is not of this world." Well, where is it then? Look at Luke 17 with me. "Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, 'The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, "Here it is," or "There it is," because the kingdom of God is within you." Now, how do you tell people who all their lives, when they heard kingdom of God, thought of acreage? How do you tell those people, no, when you hear kingdom of God, think of hearts? Let me tell you what Jesus did. He intentionally chose a very unique strategy, and that is to teach about the kingdom of God through parables. 11 times he said, "The kingdom of God is like." Now what he's doing, he's saying, "You're confused. So I'm going to take an area of your life that you understand real well, and I'm going to take a lesson out of that area, and I'm going to bring it over here into the kingdom dimension to see if you can make a connection." And one area they understood well was agriculture. They were an agrarian society. So several of the kingdom parables are about growing things. And we're going to read the first one this morning. And we're going to start for next few weeks looking at kingdom parables. But I'll tell you now, the first one's the most important. If you don't get this one, nothing else will make sense. The very first thing you've got to understand about the kingdom is how it's like a sower in a field. So listen with me. We've got a long text this morning, but we need to read it all, because it's so critical to understanding kingdom planting. Matthew 13, verse 1. "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear.' The disciples came in and asked, 'Why do you speak to the people in parables?' He replied," now listen, this is important, "'The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, "You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen, then, to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places, the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Like I said, you do not understand the kingdom. You can hear sermons about the kingdom. You can nod your head and shout amen. But you don't understand the kingdom until you understand why the kingdom is like a man sowing seed in a field. See, this kingdom is a mysterious kingdom. It has secrets that some people get and some people never get. And here are two keys you got to know. One is that Jesus says the kingdom comes through a word, not a sword. In other words, he is not ushering in a kingdom by military might, not even by supernatural power. This is not a kingdom that armies or miracles are going to make people bow down to. This is a kingdom ushered in by proclaiming the truth of God. He made it so clear in the same version of the story in Luke 8 verse 11. It says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Now, most of us here, even if we didn't grow up on farms, have planted seeds. And you know a seed is a powerful thing. Inside that seed, inherent to its essence, is life-giving power. A little bitty seed this tall can grow a tree bigger than your house. Now, Jesus said the Word of God is like that. This Word has regenerative, explosive, life-giving power in it. James 1:18 says, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. This seed gives life. 1 Peter 1:23, you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. So, when people were saying, Jesus, where are your armies? Where are your swords? He'd just preach. And it would frustrate people. Is that all you're going to do is just preach? You're going to try to bring in a kingdom just with preaching? What if people don't want to listen? That's the mystery. The secret was that this kingdom that Jesus was bringing to men was not coming in irresistible power. The reign of God was breaking into history, and the mystery was that men had the freedom to refuse it. That's what people couldn't get. Now wait, I read all those prophecies in the Old Testament. The lion's going to lay down with the lamb. We're going to beat swords into plowshares. And God's going to rule over everything. Yes, that's how it's going to look. Every one of those prophecies are going to come true when the king comes back. When the kingdom is finally consummated, every knee is going to bow. But right now, as the kingdom has initially come, God has given to men the freedom to choose to enter it. And that means he's also given men the freedom, the prerogative, to turn their back on the reign of God. God is not currently driving and forcing men to accept his reign. He's letting them choose. And that's what people couldn't understand. Even John. I don't get it. You say the new age is breaking in. Well, if the new age is breaking in, the age of God's reign, how come it still looks like the old age? How come people like Herod are still calling the shots? And how come people are listening to you talk about the kingdom and they're turning their back on it? Oh, that's the second mystery. It comes with a word, not a sword. And the second thing is that the kingdom comes only to those with good hearing. 13 times in this story, the word hear is found. When Jesus ended the parable, he closed with the words, "He who has ears, let him hear." And when he explained the parable, the first thing he said was, "Listen." The very first thing you have to do to enter the kingdom of God is be a good listener. And this is why Jesus talked in parables. Because when you tell stories, you find out real fast who's really listening and who's just nodding their heads and pretending to listen. Go back, let's look again at what he said in verse 11 about why he taught in parables. He explained to them, "You've been permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others have not. To those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But to those who are not listening, even what they have will be taken away from them." Now that is why I tell these stories. Because people see what I do, but they don't really see. They hear what I say, but they don't really hear. And they don't understand. And this fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, "You will hear my words, but you will not understand. You will see what I do, but you will not perceive its meaning. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes." Listen, understanding about the kingdom is not a matter of the intellect. It's a matter of the will. Now, did you hear what I just said? Understanding the kingdom is not a matter of the intellect. It's a matter of the will. How can you explain the reign of God to people who have no intention of being ruled? That's the problem. Jesus said it another time in John 7. "Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own." What is the will of God? It's the kingdom. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." If you really want God to rule your life, you will understand what Jesus is talking about. If you want to do your own thing and your own agenda, and you only want a side order of religion, then you're not going to get it. No matter how much you listen. The problem is not the sower. And the problem is not the seed. The problem is the soil. Now remember, Jesus is in a boat telling this story. And there's all these thousands of people on a hill, bigger crowd than right here in this room. And they look eager. They love to hear sermons about the kingdom. And they're nodding their head, "Preach, preach." They look like a field that's plowed and just ready for good seed. Jesus knew better. He knew that people listen to the kingdom with different kinds of ears. Some people listen with closed ears. They're like seed on a hard path. You see, back then, you did not have fences to divide up farms. You had paths that were rights of way that people would walk on to get from one part of the country to the other. And so the path between the fields would get hard. And the sower sows the seed, and some of the seed falls on the path. And the path is so hard that even though the seed is powerful, it can't give life. Because the soil will not be penetrated. And Jesus said, that's how some people listen to me. Some people have hard hearts because they would rather have their sin than have a sovereign run their life. You see, loved ones, if you have sin in your life, now, we all make mistakes. I'm talking about you have a part of your life that you know is sin and you won't give it up. You can sit here Sunday after Sunday and hear me preach till Jesus comes back, but the seed will not bear fruit in your life because every time you... That's what you're doing to your heart. That's what the Bible says. Look at Hebrews 3 with me. You must warn each other every day as long as it's called a day so that none of you be deceived by sin and become hardened against God. And so Jesus said, I know some people listen to me with closed ears because it doesn't matter what I say, they're going to get up and go home and keep their sin. And some people, Jesus said, listen to me with cautious ears. They're like seed on rocky soil. He doesn't mean that he threw seed on a pile of rocks. What he means is just like in Texas, in Palestine, they have a lot of limestone ledges. And you could have a limestone ledge just a few inches below the ground. So what happens is the sun comes down, and because of that rock just below the surface, the soil gets heated, the seed falls on the soil, and because the soil is so warm, it grows faster than any other place in the field. It looks like it's the best place in the whole field. But Jesus says, no, the seed doesn't take root there. I tell you something, folks, it's not easy to be a Christian, but it is very easy to start. And some people start, they get real excited at first. And sometimes preachers, we emotionally manipulate people into coming to Jesus without really thinking. We talk about all the benefits of the kingdom, but we don't talk about the responsibilities. And Jesus said those kind of people do great until hard times come. Feelings don't last in hard times. Only convictions do. And so Jesus says, some people, when I talk about the kingdom, they nod their head and they say, this is great. But they're not listening. Because when I talk about the kingdom, I talk about come, die to yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. And somehow, they never hear that. And some people listen with crowded ears. That's the seed with thorns in it. Now again, he doesn't throw seed in a big patch of weeds. It's all soil, but the soil has weed seeds in it already. Because I tell you something, folks. Weeds are natural to soil, right? Go anywhere and till up some ground and don't do anything and come back in a few months, what's going to grow? Wheat, corn, or weeds? Weeds are a part of the fabric of the world. And weeds don't even have to be bad. They just have to be things that crowd Jesus out. And so Jesus says, some people listen to me, but I know their life is cluttered. They get up and they got to pay bills and they got to get the deadline due and they got to work on homework and they got to go to soccer practice and they got to mow the yard. And they've got too much noise in their life to really listen to me. And so a lot of people hear Jesus talk about the kingdom, but they don't get it. It's not because of the sower. It's not because of the seed. It's a soil. The kingdom only comes to those with good hearing. Not calloused ears, not crowded ears, not cautious ears, but committed ears. Jesus says some people are hungry for God. Some people are tired of trying to run their lives and they're ready for God to take over. They are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And when my kingdom truth lands in a heart like that, watch out. Because explosive things are going to happen. The seed in a heart like that is going to bear bountiful fruit for the glory of God. Now that's the parable of the sower. That's what the kingdom is like. And it speaks to us, I think, at two levels. One is a level of indictment that says some of us need to get our hearing checked. It's like the story I heard of the man years ago in New York City that hailed a cab and he got in. And the cab driver had very vulgar language and kept using God's name to curse things. And the man in the back seat was a believer and finally he said, "Please, sir, don't speak that way of God's name. The Bible says you should not take the name of your Lord God in vain." And the driver said, "You don't need to quote that Bible to me. I went to Sunday school every day when I was a kid. I know that Bible by heart." And the man in the back seat said, "No, sir. You know the Bible by memory. You do not know the Bible by heart." At one level, this story says, get your hearing checked. Are you really listening to what Jesus says? That's the level of indictment. But there's a second level I'm going to call the level of encouragement. It speaks a word of hope to us today. Because some of us, just like John, we're wondering, Jesus, how come there's so much evil still in the world? And how come so many people start but they don't finish? And how come so many people pretend to be Christians but they're really not? And some people say, "Oh, that proves that Jesus was a phony." No, it doesn't, because Jesus said, "I knew it was going to be that way. I told you at the start it was going to be that way." But, he says, don't get discouraged. The kingdom really has come. The seed is incredible. The harvest is inevitable. And the fruitfulness of the majority is going to more than compensate for the fruitlessness of the majority. The mysterious kingdom is going to become the victorious kingdom. That's the point. And what does that mean for us in a real practical way? Let me give you three thoughts. It means first, we must be obedient. We must sow. And we must sow everywhere. We must even throw seed on hard places. We don't have the right to sit back and judge certain people or certain parts of town or certain parts of the world and say, well, that's just too hard. Won't go there. We throw seed everywhere because the seed is incredible. Have you ever seen a plant growing up straight through the asphalt? You give the seed a chance to do what it does. I bet you that Philippian jailer was a pretty hard old guy. But all it took was a little earthquake and a Bible study, and he came to Christ. You be obedient and get the seed out. And second, be patient. Because you don't plant the seed and harvest in the same day. We've got to plant and then we've got to wait, which means we've got to trust God. And that's part of the deal, folks. To understand the mystery of the kingdom means you've got to understand that this is God's kingdom, and ultimately we plant and we water, but God makes it grow. Jesus told a parable like that in Mark chapter 4, the only place in the Bible that you find this parable. It says, verse 26 and 7, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. He doesn't know what's going on. Listen, folks, this is God's kingdom. You go out there and you plant something in the ground. When you go to bed, go to sleep. Let the seed do what it does. Because I tell you something, you can do what you can do, but God's in control of most of it. That Palestinian farmer knows, I put my seed in the ground. I don't have control if it's going to rain. I don't have control if it's going to get enough sun. I don't have control if the winds are going to come and blow it away. I can do what I do, but ultimately God decides what kind of harvest I'm going to have. And you plant a seed in somebody's heart, it may look like they're listening, it may look like they're not listening. You just plant a seed. Let the Holy Spirit take over. This is God's kingdom. We can't force it. We can't make it happen. We plant the seed. We sow. We trust God. Because even though that seed is out of sight, it's not out of mind. So you know what we do? We plant, we wait, and just like a farmer, we pray. Some of you have planted seed, and you've given up on it. It might be your kid, or your parents, or somebody at work, or somebody across the street, or a college buddy. Don't ever give up on seed. You start watering that seed with prayer. And be patient. And one more thing. Be confident. A lot of people doubted Jesus, but he never doubted his own mission. He never doubted the power of the seed. He never doubted that through his preaching of the kingdom, something was going to be launched that all of hell could not stop. He absolutely believed a harvest would come from fields all over the world, and it has. And it is. And it will. Can't you see it? It's not on the front page of the paper. Papers always talk about earthly kings. But can't you see between the lines what God is doing in the world? A preacher from Minnesota named Leith Anderson tells a story. When he's a little boy, he grew up outside New York City. His favorite baseball team was the Brooklyn Dodgers. And his dad got him a ticket for his first baseball game ever. It was a World Series game. Brooklyn Dodgers against the New York Yankees. And he was so excited because he knew the Dodgers were just going to throttle the Yankees. Imagine his disappointment when not only did the Dodgers lose, not a single Dodger got on base. He was so defeated. Years later, he was telling a friend that was a walking sports almanac how deflating it was, his very first baseball game. And his favorite team didn't even get a man on base. And his friend said, "You were there? Huh? You were there? You were at the game when Don Larsen of the Yankees pitched the only perfect game in World Series history? You got to see it? You were there?" Well, the truth was, he was there. But he didn't see it. He missed it. Because he was too caught up in his own agenda. That can happen to you. You can get so caught up in your kingdom that you don't see God's. God's doing something, people. It's not on the front page, but God's doing something all over the world. The Bible says in Revelation 5 that with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you've made them to be a kingdom. And I'm begging you, don't miss it. Look, listen, and see the kingdom of God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we need this truth today. We really do. More than we realize, we need to hear this word today. In fact, we need to get better at hearing, period. We need to get better at seeing. Please improve our kingdom eyesight. Please improve our kingdom hearing. Deliver us from the vanity of trivial pursuits. And help us to see the kingdom of God that is all around us. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some are going to want to go to room 109 and have church leaders pray for you today as you decide to give up your kingdom for God's. Some of you are going to want to come and be baptized today because only the Word can birth new life. And you're ready to claim Jesus as Word and truth. All of us need to ask ourselves, was I really listening? Did I get it? May God bless you. Let's stand up and sing.
Lord, I stand in the midst of a multitude of those from every tribe and tongue. We are your people, redeemed by your blood, purchased from death by your love. There are no words good enough to thank you. There are no words to express my sing from my heart with all of my strength. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah, by the blood of Christ we stand. Every tongue, every tribe, every people, every land, giving glory, giving honor. grace in your presence, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We are your children, called by your name. Humbly we bow and we pray. Release your power to work in us and through us, till we are changed to be more like you. Then all the nations will see your glory revealed and worship you. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. By the blood of Christ we stand. Every tongue, every tribe, every people, every land, giving glory, giving honor, giving praise unto the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. By the blood of Christ we stand. Every tongue, every tribe, every people, every land, giving glory, giving honor, giving praise unto the Lamb of God.
Church, please have a seat. Jonathan Haynes is ready to submit to the royal authority of Jesus. We're going to witness his confession.
Church, this is Jonathan Haynes, and a month and a half ago, we were privileged to witness his sister come to Christ, and just a couple of weeks ago, his mom gave her life to Christ, and we've had opportunity to study now with Jonathan, He'll be graduating just a couple weeks from high school, and he's come today to say yes to Jesus too. He's getting ready to enter the Marine Corps, and he knows and understands that he needs Jesus more than anything else. And I want you to know, Jonathan, that you are a living example of what Rick preached this morning, because your heart is soil, and the seed was planted into it, and today fruit is being born. God is bringing forth a harvest, and you're that harvest. And He'll continue to bring forth harvest in you in the months and years to come, for all of the rest of your life, as you continue to maintain good soil, a heart that is receptive to His truth, His leading, His Spirit's promptings and urgings. And it's my urging to you is that you always allow God to have control of your soil, control of your heart, and give Him full ownership of every part of your life. I want to ask you this question before all of these. Do you believe with all of your heart, Jonathan, that Jesus Christ is who He proved Himself to be, the very Son of God, God in the flesh?
Yes.
And do you want Him to be the king of your life from now on for the rest of your days?
Yes.
God bless you, bud. Because you love Jesus, because you want to be His man, a man after His own heart, a heart like His. You're now being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of every sin, and so you might receive the gift of God's Spirit. Hold your nose. Take a breath. Bring your knees.
We love you with the love of the Lord. We love you with the love of the Lord. We sing you.
Mike mentioned that we are having our quarterly blood drive today. You can go upstairs to the atrium and be a blessing by giving the gift of life. Also, Tuesday morning, 6:15, is our men's breakfast with Kenny Perry, who's the reigning Colonial Golf Champion. We'll have you out of here by 7:15, 7:30, so you can get to work. Before you turn in your cards, guys, be sure you've put on the back that you're coming. Just write your number. And if you're bringing someone from work, and I hope you do, or a friend that loves golf, and maybe this is a chance to plant some seed, then put that down too, so we'll know how many breakfasts to prepare. But go ahead and do that and turn your cards in at this time, please. I'll get some kids to help me pick them up. Guests, turn in that purple card or take it to the Welcome Center, and we'll give you a packet that tells you more about the church. We will next Sunday talk more about the kingdom. We'll study the parable of the wheat and tares. And then this Wednesday night, I'm excited because I get to give two lessons. I've got to be downtown at 8 o'clock to teach the PGA Tour Bible study. I'm excited about that. I'll get to teach the word to some professional golfers. But before I go, at the summit at 7 o'clock, I'm going to teach a lesson. I am going to teach a lesson on great spiritual truths I have learned from the game of golf, complete with pictures of my storied golf career. And you do not want to miss this lesson. Whether you play the great game or not, you got a lot that you can learn. It's my way of teaching by parables, and you will be encouraged. Let's stand now. We're going to sing, Jesus is my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. And Brent Barrett will dismiss us with prayer.
Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. And Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word.
Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for being such a mighty God and a holy God. Lord, that we can come and assemble this morning and just bring praises to your name. Lord, help our hearts to be right. Put your word on our heart, Lord, and just help us to wear that and to be a light for you in everything we do. Lord, we thank you again for this day. It's through Jesus' name I pray. Amen.